On the night of March 1st, a huge sinkhole appeared on a historic farm in Springtown in southwestern Benton County. No one was hurt, nor were any structures involved in the collapse. But as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the unique and ecologically sensitive site remains at risk.
Just before dawn, on the morning of March 2nd, Carrie Barrett fixed herself a cup of coffee, put on her coat and mud boots, and headed out with Sue, her black and white border collie, to work in the orchard. 100 feet from the house, she almost stumbled into a giant crack in the earth.
And wasn't paying attention. It was that, you know, when it's just a little bit dark out still. And walked along and looked up just in time.
Overnight, a 35-foot section of pasture had collapsed into a 9-foot-deep sinkhole, as if someone had taken a knife and sliced open the ground, revealing layers of soil, rock, and a deep underground stream.
Yes, so that's when I first noticed it, but we knew up to that point that there was something very funny going on.
The Barrett's red barnwood chicken coop stands just a few feet away, the chickens milling around nervously inside. They watch as Carrie Barrett points to several new deep fissures forming in the pasture.
And now you can see, I don't know if you can see the dipping along here, so it's even a little larger than we thought.
An earthquake in very slow motion. Carrie Barrett and her husband Preston, a junior high school track coach, own this 16-acre farm located 10 miles west of the regional airport off Highway 12 in the village of Springtown, population 87. They purchased the land in 1997 for several reasons. A lovely historic 1875 farmhouse they've restored, named Old Girl, lots of rich tillable land, and plenty, plenty of water. Springtown's historic Big Spring, which is on their property, produces nearly 3.5 million gallons of cold, clear water per day, one of the largest springs in Benton County. It's fed by several underground streams flowing through an ancient karst limestone cave complex, emerging into a pond less than 20 feet from the farmhouse. Fat rainbow trout swirl through the crystal turquoise waters, and birds fly about. But the Barretts have also invested a small fortune working to restore and protect this remarkable watershed, including rebuilding an old stone retaining wall to prevent erosion.
We, many years ago, when we first purchased the place, the old wall was crumbling, was falling into the spring, literally. And so we didn't know how to fix this thing. And in a conversation with someone, I was talking to U.S. Fish and Wildlife about some of the things going on in here and just asking questions. And she said, you know what? She goes, I think we may be able to help you with that. And so U.S. Fish and Wildlife, we got a grant to repair the wall. We put in our own monies as well. And so U.S. Fish and Wildlife came in here and helped to repair the wall. And then all the rest of the work, we've done our own.
Big Springs are resurgent headwaters of Flint Creek, a tributary to the Illinois River. The spring's been carefully documented over the years by many scientists. The U.S. Geological Survey sampled the waters, which the family pipes into the house and filters as a domestic water source. Once it leaves the pool, the spring divides downstream into two rushing creeklets, stuffed with bright green watercress. But despite numerous requests by research scientists, as well as a former Benton County environmental agent, the town mayor is constructing a new paved road right next to Big Spring. It started a decade ago when Mayor Paul Lemke secured a general permit from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and later raised nearly $232,000 in grant funding to replace a hazardous low-water bridge on East Flint Creek, just west of the Barretts' property, with a new bridge. The old bridge connected Main Street to Aubrey Long Road past the Barrett Place to County Road 352, an east-west agricultural thoroughfare. To protect the spring from traffic disturbance, the Barretts offered to give the mayor land they owned to build an alternative route from the new bridge, curving north through a mostly vacated residential district. The mayor refused and eminent domain the Barretts to widen the road in front of their farm. The matter ended up in court-ordered mediation. In early 2012, the Barretts agreed to swap their old dirt road easement next to Big Spring, extending from the old bridge, as a buffer, deeding the city a strip of property they owned to widen the road just beyond. The route parallels the Barrett farm. New road construction commenced mid-February, but Carrie Barrett was not prepared for what happened next.
And so in order to get it ready for that, they had to bring out what's called a roller. And it has a vibrating, pounding action. And I'd never witnessed one of those before. since we've been here. And from what I understood, when I called the county and was asking them why this machine was out here, they said that it's to make this smooth so that they can pave it. But the action went on for quite some time, and I don't recall the house ever shaking like that, but the whole house shook. And within about an hour of that piece of machinery being out here, not only was the house shaking, but I noticed plumes of mud coming out of the spring.
The labor and equipment provided at no cost by Benton County Road Department was preparing the road to be paved. But 2 weeks later, a source gas crew had to return to dig up and repair a line that had ruptured due to heavy activity, more big trucks.
So the backhoe kept digging. And a wonderful crew of people, by the way. I just have to put that in. They're really, really a good crew. So they dug down about 4 feet and across the road to the other side. They finally found the leak, and they did fix it. But while they were there, again, I felt the vibrations of the house, not nearly what they were when that big machine was out here. And then I noticed more mud coming out of the spring. And sometime in the middle of the night, the sinkhole. And first person I called was the person who would know about what's going on here, and that was Dr. Brahana.
Dr. John Van Brahana is a noted geologist and research hydrologist at the University of Arkansas Department of Geosciences. He showed up at the Barrett Farm later that day.
A lot of that work, the shaking seems to be a little more intense, probably shook some of the soil down, the weight of the overlying roof, the soil, the thin soil roof, it just caved in at that point in time. Would it have done it just from traffic? Possibly. Would it have done it from a heavy rain sometime? Possibly. But I think that the actual activity of the heavy earth moving equipment and so forth probably triggered that. It had an impact on it.
Professor Brahana has been visiting the site for well over a decade, bringing students to study Big Spring as well as older, smaller sinkholes on the property. But this one gave way over a feeding stream into the spring.
It's in like a funnel. It's just broken down and in like a funnel. And that caused the spring to get muddy.
Any activity upstream, which the Barretts inadvertently learned after attempting to clean out their domestic water intake system in the pond, affects the spring's water quality downstream immediately. But within an hour after the collapse, the spring was running clear again.
It's a lovely setting, and it's been modified, and they rockwork around the margins to preserve the spring. And the landowners have been wonderful in trying to maintain that, maintain the spring in its original, as close to original condition as possible.
Dr. Van Brahana said the Barrett Farm collapse is one of the largest sinkholes that's occurred in northwest Arkansas. Now, the mayor of Springtown has declined talking on the record for this report, but in an email response, he said he's building the road to code for paving to protect Big Spring from road sediment. And why did he choose to construct a paved route right next to Old Girl and Big Spring? He said it was the most cost-effective route. But the Barretts realized early on that this tiny watershed was significant and ended up, they said, investing more than $30,000 defending it. As far back as the summer of 2000, documents from the director of Benton County Office of Environmental Affairs urged protection of Big Spring. Yet the mayor, for some reason that is not clear, persisted with the county's help.
Robert Kleinert, the Benton County Judge.
Benton County Judge Robert Kleinert says his crews routinely do road construction and grading within small rural city limits at no cost if those administrations don't have the necessary equipment. But Kleinert said he had not been told about any sinkhole until he got word from the Barretts a week later. So is the town mayor ultimately responsible for the sinkhole, or is the county?
If, and this is an if, see, if our equipment somehow can be attributed to causing the sinkhole, then probably that we would take care of it, the county. As far as the city being responsible for some of it, I just don't know. We haven't gotten to that point.
In late February, a Tampa, Florida man perished when a sinkhole collapsed in the middle of the night beneath his bedroom. His body's not been recovered from the 30-foot-deep pit, and the house site is too unstable for rescuers to enter. The house was demolished a few days later. Arkansas hydrogeologist Van Brahana believes the Barretts' home is not at risk of collapse because research indicates it's sited on top of heavy bedrock. But the sinkhole needs to be fixed, and soon.
If you just put dirt back in, it's very likely going to happen again if it's if it's not, if you don't use some heavier cobbles and blocks of chert.
The Barretts are asking the county or city, whoever is responsible for the sinkhole, to fix it and to stop any more construction on the roadway. This is not the first natural disaster experienced by the Barrett family, by the way. In 1986, they were forced to flee an avalanche of snow next to their home in Lake Tahoe, a slide which completely filled an 80-foot gorge nearby, sparing their house. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
For a slideshow documenting the Springtown sinkhole, visit ozarksatlarge.com. Arkansas could get off easier than originally estimated on the cost of insuring the state's population of working poor through private plans in the state's insurance exchange rather than through Medicaid. Nathan Vandiver with our content partner KUAR has more on how this is possible.
A new estimate from the Arkansas Department of Human Services, the Arkansas Insurance Department, and independent consultants says the cost of insuring the state's population making incomes of 100 to 138% of the federal poverty level may be far lower than originally estimated. State Medicaid Director Andy Allison says the difference is due to several reasons specific to Arkansas.
Our rate differential, private versus public, is much smaller, apparently, in Arkansas than it is on average around the country, really less than 25%. As opposed to the 50% or greater differential that you'll see in other states.
An estimate from the Congressional Budget Office was all anyone had to go on until now, and that pegged Arkansas's private coverage option for the Medicaid expansion pool at about 50% higher. The new estimate is that private coverage could be up to 15% higher. Allison says increased competition between insurance companies from the new population of people with insurance coverage contributes.
Adding as many as a quarter million, adults under 138 of poverty to the exchange has a radical and we believe very positive impact on that marketplace. It makes that market far more attractive to private carriers. We'll likely see more competition.
He added that it's speculation, but it's based on what has happened elsewhere. Arkansas Insurance Commissioner Jay Bradford, who is also on hand, confirmed there are many insurance companies applying to become part of the exchange that could drive that competition. These new numbers could help convince many lawmakers who are on the fence about accepting federal dollars to expand health coverage in the state. DHS Director John Selig says they are receiving positive response to the new estimate.
Well, we've spoken with the governor with the legislators we have. I mean, it's this relief that, boy, it's nothing like people were saying it might be. I mean, that was our sense when we saw the numbers.
Governor Mike Beebe's spokesman Matt DeCampbell agrees that it's good news.
We're very excited. I mean, and I think it's a, as far as how much of a difference it makes, that'll be something to ask the legislators.
Senator David Sanders, a Republican from Little Rock, says it wasn't long ago that legislators were told the private expansion question was off the table. He says he and other Republican lawmakers aren't ready to fully embrace the federally funded expansion of coverage, but they see the new estimate as reason to continue the discussion.
I think this gives us clearance to continue working and developing an option that is best for Arkansas.
Up to a quarter of a million Arkansans stand to gain health coverage should lawmakers decide to accept federal health insurance expansion dollars available under the Affordable Care Act. In Little Rock, I'm Nathan Vandiver.
The duo Water Liars comes from Oxford, Mississippi. Justin Pete Kinkle-Schuster plays guitar and sings lead vocals, and Andrew Bryant contributes vocals and plays the piano. They've just released a new album titled Wyoming, and they were in Fayetteville earlier this month to play at Nightbird Books. During their visit, they stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to talk with Ozarks at Large's Katie Henriksen and play a couple of songs.
Thanks, guys, for coming to the KUAF studio and for playing some songs. I'm here with Water Liars. Welcome to KUAF.
Thank you, Katie. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, my name is Justin. My friends call me Pete. I play guitar and sing and write songs.
My name is Andrew, and I play drums and sing. And a lot of other stuff.
So I didn't realize you grew up in Arkansas.
Yeah, Greenwood, which is, I don't know, what's that, like an hour and a half, hour 45 south of here. Yeah, I played baseball in high school, and I got to play on the Baum Stadium over there in the state championship one year.
Yeah, he pointed that out as soon as we turned off of the highway.
It's pretty awesome.
Let's talk about the songs you're going to play in the studio.
Wyoming, a lot of people feel like that's a pretty dark song, and I would agree with that. It's about a lot of things. I don't ever want to tell people what songs mean to me, because I feel like that ruins it for everyone else. Like, it definitely means things to me, and that song is about a few different things, and both real and fictional. I kind of like to let that one lie. This is Wyoming. Lennon's, that one's pretty, I feel like that one's pretty, that's like, we wrote that to be like the pop jam.
Yeah,
whatever.
That's our
pop jam. A hit single. Yeah. That's probably the closest I'll ever get to like writing a love song. The songs that I write are all like, I'm not capable of writing like happy, like love song. Like it just is not something that
Yeah, well, didn't Cowboy Jack say something about, like, a love song is a sad song or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like happiness in terms of, you know, songs, like, I feel like that speaks for itself. It doesn't need me to speak for it. Sounds good?
I'll just do what I normally do.
Okay. This song is called Linens.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks for playing your music and talking to us about your songs.
Thank you for having us,
Katie.
Water Liars is Justin Pete Kinkle Schuster on guitar and lead vocals, and Andrew Bryant, vocals and piano. They met Ozarks at Large's Katie Hendrickson inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio a few hours before a show at Nightbird Books earlier this month. You can hear a bit more from them at our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com. Their latest album, Wyoming, is out now. They'll be back in Fayetteville for an all-ages show at Nightbird Books June 29th.
It's been 3 months since a gunman opened fire inside Sandy Hook Elementary. For a while, it seemed the country would unify behind the vow never to let it happen again. But turning that commitment into reality has proved a challenge. I'm Tom Gelton. States debate their gun laws, from arming teachers to limiting magazines. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation coming up in just a couple of minutes at 1 o'clock on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Springtown.
Would like to, you remember last Thursday night, I was honored to be one of the hosts of the Ozark Literacy Council Piggies Go to Market.
Yes, I did not make it to that event.
Well, there were a million things going on last Thursday.
Yes.
But it was at the town center on the Fayetteville Square. Thursday night, Ozark Literacy Council officials say that they raised $21,500 just Thursday night.
Oh, wow.
For the entire Pigsibition, $140,000 raised. $50,000 to $55,000 of that went back to the local art industry.
Very cool. Because the artists that painted the pigs and stuff got a stipend. Is that the right word?
And then I should point out that the pig that went for the highest bid Thursday night, not in the overall, but the live auction.
Yes.
Priscilla White, who used to work here at Ozarks at Large and KUAF. It was her pig.
Oh, good. So how many did they have? Did they sell all of the pigs that they needed to at the event?
Yes. All 11 went.
All 11 went.
And all went for good money. Now, and people were very excited.
Were they... A couple of my friends were talking about this weekend. Did they go to an individual or did they go to businesses? Because we thought it seemed both.
Yes. There were people who were coming up to me that wanted to know the order that they were going to be auctioned off in.
Oh.
And some people said, our business wants one.
Sure.
This person who owns a business has said, I have my credit card. Okay. They were going to walk away. There was an attitude that – and people had the pigs ranked the way they wanted them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But there were people that wanted it to go put it in their front yard or something?
Backyard with a garden. That's what I kept
really?
Hearing.
Backyard mm-hmm. with a garden.
And they took them away, 200 pounds, put them in.
Oh,
and, you know, they're going to be there for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I was curious about that.
It was a fun event.
Excellent. Yes. I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that.
Yes.
And we were talking about the water. You heard the water liars earlier in this show, and I did get to see them while they were in town at Nightbird Books.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that they had that cool little
breezeway
in between Nightbird, what's Nightbird Books and...
The garden room.
Right.
What used to be Ozark Mountain Smokehouse years ago.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool little venue for a show.
They also show movies there, right?
Apparently.
Yes.
I've not seen one of those, but it's a very intimate setting, and the guys were hanging out in the back when the opener was up there, and everybody was just kind of talking and hanging out, and I liked it. So it's really cool that they're doing that. I had no idea.
One more thing in this area.
I kept thinking they were doing it in the bookstore.
Nope.
You know, just close it down.
They do have some music in the bookstore.
Sure.
Because in the middle of December, you're not going to go in the breezeway.
Right. Well, they did have heaters in there. It was warm that night, so
okay.
We didn't really need them, but they did have space heaters just in case.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Filled
out your bracket yet?
No, I need to do that. Do I have time still?
Depends what pool you're in.
Oh, dear.
Some are saying, no, the tournament begins tonight because you have two games tonight, two games tomorrow night that are now called the first four. But others are saying, you know what?
I think
you'll
have
just pick
Thursday.
That's what most people do. But the purists are now saying, no, you've got to have it in by this afternoon.
Well, I have a group of friends, and it got larger this year, so mm-hmm. I expect it to be very competitive.
And there's no gambling, right?
No.
Because that would be illegal.
Sure. No. It's just for fun. And it's...
Oh, really? It is only just for fun?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, for bragging rights.
Through... No, I know people. In theory, I've heard that happens.
Oh, but... No. For bragging rights, it's CBS or whatever.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Going
right,
through
right.
them, and then we have our own personal group, whatever.
Sure.
And no, if there's money on this, I didn't realize. I guess I should ask.
VCU. That's the Cinderella that I've got.
Okay.
All right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening.